Vielen Dank. Es tut mir sehr leid, dass mein Deutsch so schlimm ist. Also muss ich Englisch sprechen. And I'm very sorry that I'm not in Munich with you. I couldn't be. I hope it was explained that I had surgery a few weeks ago and couldn't. You can read far more detail than you'd like on my blog about that. I'm also very sorry not to be there, because every time I go to Germany, I have seen in the past a lot to learn and a lot of development going on. And a lot of new ideas that work there differently from here. The fact that Burda has invested in GLAM, I think, is something that American media companies didn't get. Holzbrinck has its laboratory. Axel Springer has an impressive amount of its revenue now in digital, which American companies don't have. Kai Diekmann has not only his Votto, but now his blog. VATS has done, I think, things in local that beat anything happening in the U.S. There's a great amount of innovation happening in Germany. However, if I may be so bold, I will now also say that I'm worried about the talk that I hear from the German media world. I'm worried about the effort to protect the old model. I'm worried about treating Google as an enemy. And I'm worried that that means that perhaps the market doesn't understand, I think, what's really going on and the opportunities that exist. I would argue that Google is not an enemy. Google is a model for where we should be seeing how to use the internet. That might sound like an advertisement for my book, Was würde Google tun? And in a sense it is, because that's where that book idea started, was talking to a room of media people such as you to say that rather than viewing aggregators and Google and such as an enemy, we really should be trying to see how they're succeeding so well and to follow their model. There is very simply an entirely new business reality to media. Efforts to protect the old models will not work. And I think that's what I'm seeing now as the financial crisis has come around the world and to media and in Europe and in Germany. I see a lot of this kind of talk, and it worries me, because I think that it starts to affect the innovation and the entrepreneurship that's going to go on there. We have an entirely new structure of media, and here's how I like to look at it. We had a content economy when we could obviously sell many copies of anything we created. Now we have a link economy, where there's the need for only one copy of anything online. It is the links to that content that give it value. On the internet, content with no links has no value. It gains value as it gains links. And thus, I argue, Google and other aggregators like it, I work with one called Daylife, plus blogs, plus Twitter streams, all add value to content when they send links to it. There are a few imperatives, a few requirements of this link economy. The first is that you have to have your content open to the world. If you're not searchable, you will not be found. So talk of going behind paywalls, I think, is dangerous, because you potentially lose audience, you lose discovery. And you have competitors out there, no limit of competitors, who will be free. The link economy also requires, I think, that you take advantage of a new kind of efficiency. You have to specialize. You do what you do best and link to the rest. Media companies cannot be all things to all people anymore. We have to specialize and find a highly targeted business in this media world. It is a smaller business, but it is a targeted, efficient, effective, and profitable business. Finally, the third rule of the link economy is that he or she who gets the links is the one who has to monetize them. So all this talk about saying to Google that you owe us money because you use our content. Well, no, I disagree with that. Google is sending you links, and that is the value you get. Once you get those links, once you get that audience, what you do with them is your responsibility. And so the question really becomes how you take advantage of that. So I'm troubled to see the word of Angela Merkel looking at new copyright laws, same thing we have here in the US. I think that attempts to protect an old model in a new structure of media. At the City University of New York, where I teach, we were in the middle of a big project on new business models for news. And the markets, of course, are different in Germany and in the US, but I think there are some similarities. We found that hyper-local sites, sites covering a small town, 50,000 people, were bringing in between $100,000 and $200,000 advertising revenue. And these were journalists who, frankly, are not good at business and don't know how to sell ads. Even so, they were getting a real business. As we looked at how to see what happens in this market, we imagined the worst happening. We imagined a metropolitan paper, a regional paper, dying. We don't want to kill it, but everyone says, what happens if this paper dies? So we looked at that. We picked a market the size of Boston in the US, 5 million people. We saw that if you had these successful blogs of 50,000 people each earning money, let's say there's 100 of them in the marketplace. We asked, how can you improve their value? Well, one thing you can do is improve the services they sell to their local advertisers. The other thing you can do is to create networks like Glam that enable those sites to get regional advertising and then highly local advertising, four or five towns or just football fans or something like that. We believed that these blogs could bring in as much as $300,000 a year with the right structure. We then did see the opportunity for a news organization in these markets, but it's much smaller and it has new roles. It still does reporting and journalism, but now it must work collaboratively with this network of sites and with their audience. It must find the efficiency that online brings to reduce the cost structure. We saw a need to create networks, but in the end, the big lesson, I think, was that the future of media is not going to be one company or another company, a bad company to a good company, owning one product. It's going to be an ecosystem of many different players operating under many different models that together become a new structure of media. So in that new structure, the opportunity we have is not to own everything anymore. The opportunity we have is not to pay for everyone anymore and the cost that comes with that. The opportunity is to work as a platform like Google and in networks like Glam that bring together value in far more efficient ways. So we have to rethink what we are as media companies, and that is very hard because the future is a bunch of very small companies, and we're used to being very big. And I'm not sure it's possible to go from big to small. It's very painful. There's a lot of jobs lost in that process. But there's also the opportunity, I think, to find ways to invest in this new structure. We also have to think in very distributed terms. There was a college student who said to a researcher here in the US in the New York Times a year ago, if the news is that important, it will find me. And that's kind of frightening for us in media, I think, because we're used to the customers coming to us. The readers came to us. Instead, we now have to go to them. And we have to think in different ways about what we do. And of course, we do this now. We have RSS feeds. We have some of our writers are on Twitter. But I think we have to look at the future of an entirely new structure of the internet. If what we're going through so far is new and scary, we haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get newer and scarier. When we presented our new business models for news project at the Aspen Institute in July, Marissa Meyer, who's the head of search and user interface at Google, said, oh, well, this is very interesting that you talk about hyper-local content, Jeff, but I think the future is instead hyper-personal news streams. That is to say, and in fact, we're seeing bits of this with Google Wave, and now with Mozilla has something called, I think, Raindrop. The idea is that you pull in an individual, all of my content, my RSS feeds, my email, my Twitter, all this stuff together, it's a mess. Well, what companies like Google are looking at is how do we help with algorithms, with computers, prioritize that for you, make more sense out of that. Put the most important emails to the top. If you've read this story over the last few days, put the latest news for you on top. Now the question then becomes for us in our business, how do we insinuate ourselves into someone's stream? To wait for them to come to our site? Well, we want that, we need that. That's why links are beneficial. But even as I argue for the link economy, there's something that's new coming along. So the structure of the media business, I think, changes in even more profound ways. And our challenge is to figure out not how to protect our old structure, but how to exploit the new structure. And I think that's going to happen with entrepreneurs. I note that just today, I see the news that an entrepreneur in Germany is starting the European, Robert Maxwell's old brand, there. In the US, yesterday, the Washington Post finds that it has a new competitor in Politico, which has been running a national political site like the European, is now starting a local site for Washington with the former editor of WashingtonPost.com. The big question for us is, where is the business future of media? I think, and I'm thinking this just lately, that it's not in institutions, it's in entrepreneurs. The entrepreneurs are going to be building the future of media. And as we look at our own businesses and at government policy, we have to look at how to encourage and support that entrepreneurship. I run a course at the City University of New York where I teach in entrepreneurial journalism. I have students who've gotten seed money who are now out starting their own businesses. We are seeing in the US a lot of not-for-profit efforts to start local journalism around and reporting. We're seeing national efforts like Politico. We're seeing all kinds of new combinations coming up. And I think that the real question is, how do we support that kind of entrepreneurship to build the future? Protection alone is not enough. Now, in our business, I think we have many challenges that we need to invest in. I proposed recently the notion of an X Prize to try to solve some of our big problems. Among those, I think, number one bigger problem we have is engagement. I don't know what the numbers are for sites in Germany, but in the US, most news sites get about 12 page views per user per month. That is criminally low. Facebook gets 12 page views per user per day. It gets 30 times the engagement of a news site. And if a news site thinks it is truly of the community, I don't think it is. Now, part of engagement is rethinking what we do. The notion that all we do is churn out a product every day, I think, becomes outmoded. We don't really work in a product world. We only did because we had printing presses and broadcast times. We really are about process. Journalism and news is a process that doesn't begin and it doesn't end. When you think like that, I think you open up your world to collaboration. One of the lessons from Google is that it always puts out new products as a beta, and it says, this is unfinished, it's imperfect, help us finish it. The next generation of interactivity, I think, is not what we have now, which is that you're allowed to comment on our articles. The next generation is collaboration. How do we work with the public to create acts of journalism and media and things? Wikipedia calculated the value of the edits, just the edits on Wikipedia. Not the writing, not anything else, just the edits. And they put a small per hour rate to that and found that the people were giving Wikipedia labor worth hundreds of millions of dollars a year. That creates huge value. So how do we engage our audience in new ways that they're more than an audience? The second problem I think we have is effectiveness for advertising, for a whole new kind of range of advertising. The third problem I think we have is how to find efficiency. Rather than trying to own and do everything ourselves, I think that we have to find ways to work collaboratively so we can work more efficiently. Our new business models for News Project found one company replaced by more than 100 companies. It found, yes, much less revenue, but also much less cost. It returned journalism to a profitable state, a sustainable state, so that it can continue to live and keep going. I think that's what we need to look at here and see where to grow news and journalism. So I've seen again through the years, I've come to Germany to do business since the 90s when I invested in a company with my employer, Cutting Nash, called Cassiopeia. It is no more. We've made a few mistakes. I've come back and learned, as I say, at Borda and Axel Springer and Holzbrink and Watz and other places. I think there's incredible innovation and invention that's going on in German media. But I think that right now is a very frightening time, as we see, as Dr. Burda said, our dollars turned into lousy dimes or lousy pennies, I think he said, at DLD last year. Yes, That's true about our old business models, and trying to maintain the scale that we had before is going to be impossible. It can't work. We have to see what the future is. We have to face it bravely. We have to build that future, and the way to build that future is to think as entrepreneurs. So I think that is my time, Frank, if that's right, and we'll have a discussion.
Jeff, I hope you could hear the applause. It was warm applause. Thank you so far. This is the print summit. So what is the, you were talking about how to deal with the online future, but how to deal with print. Do you believe in the print business?
I think that we have to stop defining ourselves by our medium. And print still has value, will still work in some ways, but I think if we define ourselves by print, that's not how the public defines us. They define us by our value. And so I would argue that we have to get past that idea of thinking in print. Print brings with it an incredible cost structure. Yes, it brings higher revenue today, and yes, advertisers still pay more for print, and yes, it's hard to give that up. But I think we have to look not at individual revenue lines, but instead at the entire profit and loss statement of a business. And I think that I get accused of trying to kill print. I don't. But I think that we have to face the harsh questions about print and see whether or not it really is a sustainable business. I'm not sure it is. I think it is temporarily. And we have to drive our business, our audience, and our advertisers into the future, and that future is online.
People even say you dance on the graveyards of print. You know that.
I try to. Here, there's a cause and effect problem here, Frank. That it's about killing the messenger, as we say. I'm not causing print to die, nor do I want print to die, but I think we see it happening before our very eyes. We have had 40 years ago today, the internet was created. All right? We probably didn't realize the implications 40 years ago, but 15 years ago this month, the commercial browser came out on the internet. Everyone at that moment in the world got a printing press. Everyone. And that fundamentally changed our business, and I don't think we did a good job of changing. I include myself in that. I worked in a print company. I didn't do a good enough job. And I think that we have lost a lot of time and a lot of effort. Now, the market is different in Germany than the US, but I think you should look at US, as we say off English, as the canary in the coal mine, the early warning of what is to come. We are seeing paper companies here go bankrupt right and left. We are seeing papers die. But we are seeing new things rise from those ashes. So no, I don't dance on the grave, but I do think it's time to be harsh and blunt and honest about this and to stop being polite.
How important is...
I didn't think that would get blunt.
How important is technology for media companies these days and in the future?
It is the future. It is. There can be nothing more important than technology, I think. And the awareness that all we have to learn is change. I teach journalism. I believe in journalism. I believe in media. I teach journalism. Who would have thought that 2 years ago I would teach Twitter? How silly is that? Who would have thought that a few years ago we'd be talking about hyper-personal news streams? I think the more that we use the technology, the more we understand it, the more we... find the opportunity in it and find the efficiency in it, the better off we're going to be as companies.
You praise in your book Google, and Google is just a big monopoly. Why do you praise a monopoly?
I don't think they're a monopoly that was raised because they used unfair competition. Google is just damned smart. They saw opportunities we did not see. In media, we still sell advertising as scarcity. There's only so much space, only so many eyeballs. Google didn't do that. Google won the ads market because it came in and assumed part of the risk, shared the risk, and they sold performance. And this meant that Google, rather than, they could have come in and used our model. They could have said, only so many people in a day search on the word München for travel, and we'll charge what the market can bear. They didn't do that. They instead said, we will charge you only on the clicks if we perform. And so Google was motivated to create better and better relevance. It was motivated to create an abundance of advertising with AdSense. Google saw a different world and acted differently. We still see the world that we know, and in this new world, we try to act as we always did. Google is a model. I think we're trying too hard to look for enemies to blame for what is our fault. We have had 15 years to update media, and we didn't do it, and it's time to accept the responsibility. It's not Google's fault. Google is smarter. Google sees a world differently. That's why I wrote the book, because I wanted to understand how they see the world. I'm not sure they even know how they see the world, because they are younger and they operate differently. And we have to hire those young people to see the world differently and to beat us up. You know, I tell young people now that when they go to work for a company, it used to be that youth was something you had to get over. You had to get older, right? Youth is now an asset, because young people see and operate differently. They don't buy print. They get their news differently. They share news differently. That's what we have to do. So I think we have to learn from Google, one. Two, I think we have to see the opportunities to use Google. How do we use those links we get from Google? How do we get more links? How do we use their advertising? How do we work together to create platforms that make it very cheap for us to publish? I think there are opportunities there, and Google is not a monopoly. Google is a model.
Jeff, what in your opinion should we discuss now in the ongoing discussion here in Munich? What's the main topic for the print business we should discuss?
I would suggest that you have very, very honest Chinese self-criticism sessions about the real future. I think that you've got to get to the point where you say, let's be honest, let's look at a future, let's look at the worst vision we have for our future and figure out how we prosper and survive in it. Because if you don't do it, there is an entrepreneur who right now is starting the European. You know, in all candor, the European has said that it's rather like, I haven't looked at it much yet, I just saw it this morning, that it's rather like the Huffington Post in the US. And that's rather like Comment is Free at The Guardian, where I work in the UK. In all honesty, I have said to publishers in Germany for the last 4 years, you know, someone in Germany should start that. No one did. Now an entrepreneur did. So I met recently, a few weeks ago, with the big electronics retailer, Best Buy, in the US. They've killed their biggest competitor, and you'd think they'd be sitting back saying, we win, but they're not. They're trying to frighten themselves. And they asked me to frighten them. And they're looking at an entirely new world where retail changes utterly, completely. And so the way I talked about it with them was, imagine there is a kid in a garage somewhere who's going to use the platforms that we have of Google and Facebook and Judy Fawcett and Amazon and so on, and is going to create very inexpensively an entirely new kind of media business. What is it? That's what you have to imagine, I think, now. So rather than talking about protecting the past of print, I think you have to bravely imagine a new future that even doesn't have print.
Jeff, we are looking now for, there's applause again.
Glad to have friends still in Germany.
We look now for the kids in Germany and what they would do. Jeff, thank you very much. I think this is time for a very big applause to you and your early time in New York. Thank you very much.
Vielen Dank.
It's a pity having you not here, but I hope you'll come the next time. Have a good day in New York. We just switch you off now and start our discussion here. Thank you, Jeff, and bye-bye.
Good night. Tschüss.